Now, it was actually the Chinese that invented fireworks, and we use them now here. Everything's made in China anyway, right? So we use them now here to celebrate the 4th of July. I'll be honest with you, I don't know the exact reason we use fireworks. But one thing I picture in celebrating the 4th of July with fireworks is what I picture in my mind, what Francis Scott Key must have pictured when he penned the words for the Star Spangled Banner. If you remember the story from school, Francis Scott Key was looking out over the horizon, and as night fell and it just seemed almost perilous, the bombs bursting in air, as he wrote. And what did he see when the bombs bursted in air? He saw the Old Glory. Last week I gave a poem of that old ragged flag. And I think of that, what Francis Scott Key saw, and as he wrote, not so much about the flag, but what the flag actually stands for. Then we sing songs, America the Beautiful, My Country, 'Tis of Thee. And those are songs that even some of our founders would have sung and agreed with, because it honored God. So if I could read something here, the French writer Alexis de Tocqueville, after visiting America in 1831, said, "I sought for the greatness of the United States in her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, her fertile fields and boundless forests, and it was not there. I sought for her greatness in her rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school system, and in her institutions of higher learning, and it was not there. I looked for its greatness in her Democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good, and if America ever ceases to be good," he wrote, "America will cease to be great." A nation is only as good as its people, and a people only as good as their God. That's a quote from Kurt Buchanan. Nobody, trust me. We discussed last week the fact that our nation was founded on the one and only true God. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of the Bible. The only true God, Creator, Almighty God. Our nation was founded on His Word, on His principles. And that made our nation good. And our nation great. So in order for our nation to be good and great again, we must be good people, worshiping the one and only true good God. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 18. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "No one is good but one, God. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Let's say that. God is good, and all the time,
God is good.
That's right. It is intrinsic to the nature of God. Goodness is intrinsic to the nature of God, and there is nothing good but God. If you read in James chapter 1, guess what? All things that are good come from the Father of lights. And nothing that is good comes from anywhere else. James teaches us that. Well, if God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, and that is part of His intrinsic nature, and we believers, if we want to regain a nation, then guess what? It starts here with us. Last week, I talked about the hope we have in America. We're not hopeless. We serve the living Creator God. He created this world from nothing. Don't you think He could regain a nation? Well, let's be a people of hope. But we as a church body then must mimic our good God and be good. And then we spread the good news of Jesus to others. And in so doing, we will be regaining the USA. Let's pray. God, as your word is brought forth today, again, it's not me. It is your word. Really, my words in between your words mean nothing. I pray that your word will pierce my heart. I pray that your word will pierce my brothers and sisters listening today and listening to my voice, that it will pierce their heart. And for those that do not know Jesus as Lord of their life, Savior of their eternity, I pray that it will pierce their heart. Today we get to celebrate the freedom, liberty that we have because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice. And we will celebrate that at the end of our service in what we call communion. But God, it is a celebration of the freedom we have from sin and eternal death and hell. So today, may we be encouraged, but also challenged through your word. It's in Jesus' name, our power, our Savior. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Now, while you're turning, I'd like to share a cute little story. The 4th of July weekend was approaching, and Miss Pelham, the nursery school teacher, took the opportunity to tell her class about patriotism. She said, "We live in a great country. One of the things we should be happy about is that in this country, we are all free." Trevor, who was a little boy in her class, came walking up to her from the back of the room. He stood with his hands on his hips and said loudly, "I'm not free, I'm four." Now we'll look at, there's a point to that. We'll get to it later. Galatians chapter 6, starting at verse 6. "The one who is taught the message must share all his good things with the teacher. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Because the one who sows to his flesh will reap corruption from the flesh, but the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit." So we must not get tired of, listen to this, doing good. For we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, we must work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. Now, there are a lot of lessons in this, but we're just going to extract a few things. All of us here today are without excuse. We're without excuse because the gospel is being given. It was given through our songs, It's given through the Word. We're without excuse. We are taught the message of Jesus and the salvation that comes through Him. And it is time for us to sow life, true life, eternal life, to sow true liberty, which is liberty in Christ, and the true pursuit of happiness, which is happiness in the pursuit of God and godliness. The Apostle Paul iterates in verse 7 of Galatians chapter 6 that God is not mocked. Well, people may take His name in vain. They may joke about God. They may even play act and be God in some movie or show. But He will not be mocked, and judgment will occur. And in verse 8, the things of this fleshly world will corrupt a good thing. Listen to what that is, what Paul said here. The things of this world will corrupt a good thing. Paul explained to the church in Ephesus the gravity of this kind of corruption in a person's life, which translates to the church and what this kind of corruption will do to a nation. Let's take a look now at Ephesians, and I'm going to ask you to turn there. Ephesians chapter 5, and you're going to want to keep your finger at Ephesians chapter 5 through the remainder of our time together. Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love as the Messiah also loved us and gave Himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. But sexual immorality and any impurity or greed should not even be heard of among you, as it is proper for saints. Coarse and foolish talking or crude joking are not suitable, but rather giving thanks. For know and recognize this: every sexually immoral and impure or greedy person who is an idolater, in other words, these things are pursued over God, does not have an inheritance in the kingdom of the Messiah and of God. Folks, this thing that he talked about to the church of Galatia, he expounded upon to the church in Ephesus, saying, live the good life of God. Be imitators of God. Remember, He's not mocked. Live as imitators. Why? Because He loves us. We're His children. He loves us so much He's calling us His kids, even to the point that we get to inherit the kingdom with Christ. And so he's saying sexual immorality, impurities, coarse and foolish talking and joking, anything other than goodness needs to be away from us, because it is idolatry. It is putting things above God, and it will cause a person, and that corruption can cause a person to miss God's kingdom. The remedy is given here. It's to imitate God, right? We just said and talked about the imitation of God, but imitate our good God. Remember, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And we get to imitate Him in our lives, in our words. We imitate Him, and as true believers and His loved children, as we walk in His love, remember what kind of love? It's the love the Messiah showed us by sacrificing Himself for us. So it is a sacrificial love. We're not talking about the ushy-gushy love, right? We're talking about a sacrificial love. That's the kind of thing we should imitate and then be like good children. And we will see goodness spread. As Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, 11 through 12, he said, "Dear friends, I urge you as strangers and temporary residents, meaning of this world, those of us who are true believers, we are strangers, and sometimes we might seem very strange to this outside world. We're temporary residents. He says, I urge you to abstain from fleshly desires that war against you. Conduct yourselves honorably, listen to this, among the Gentiles, among non-believers, so that in a case where they speak against you as those who do what is evil, they will, by observing your good works, glorify God on the day of visitation. Let me put this in perspective. I've heard some of y'all's testimonies. I know there are some here today that at a point in your life, you even spoke ill of true believers. There was a day that you spoke ill of them. So this is kind of what this verse is talking about. Yet, hopefully, those believers practiced goodness in their lives and in their speech, in talking with you and being around you as you watched their lives. And because of their goodness and of their good speech, eventually when you awakened to the glory of God through Jesus Christ and became a true believer, accepting Jesus as Lord or commander of your life and Savior of eternity, you saw then how God used their goodness, even though you made fun of it or you thought it was stupid or whatever at the time, you saw through their goodness Jesus. You saw the truth of God and His glory. And His glory now visited on you has come to redeem your soul. Does this make sense? So folks, I say to you as believers, I say even to myself, when we stand for goodness, go ahead and stand. It may be called evil, but we know it stands as we're standing for God and with God. Stand, because one day it will be seen for what it truly is, as imitation of God, who is good. So, like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, 16, in the same way let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And the Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, let the message about the Messiah dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. It's our responsibility to live right before God, no matter what's happening in our world, no matter what's happening in our nation. And Teddy, I love the passage you read because it said, do not rely on your personal riches or the riches of your nation. Rely on God. Store up your treasures in heaven. That's what Jesus was saying, Paul is saying, and it's our responsibility to seek God and His purpose, His will. We don't need to make up a purpose for our lives for God. God's already got a purpose. We just need to get in line with Him, imitate Him in goodness, and then guess what? We'll be doing His will. We'll be doing His purpose. Like it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, don't be conformed to this age, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that's through God's word, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Hey, listen, I can tell you right now, the best place to be is in the will of God. Oh, it might not be easy as this world looks, but I'll guarantee you it will be the most peaceful, comforting place you could be. So now, if you'll go back to Ephesians chapter 5, hope you have your thumb there. Go to verse 11. Paul continues here saying, don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. Now, folks, that's in our own lives, that's in our church, and that's in our nation. expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. Everything exposed by the light is made clear, for what makes everything clear is light. Therefore it is said, get up, sleeper, rise up from the dead, and the Messiah will shine on you. Verse 15, pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. The Lord's will. Don't conform to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's the Lord's will. Don't participate in fruitless works of darkness, but be active in exposing those things. You see, God set up an order. He set up order for even a nation, not just for the individual, not just for your family or even your church, but for a nation. He set up an order. He did this all the way back in the Old Testament. And this French writer that I read about at the very beginning, he saw God's order being played out in this United States. And that is what made our nation great. And for any nation that will stand up for the goodness and righteousness of God, and in their churches will preach and teach the righteousness of God, and in their schools then it will spread from there to the schools and to the communities, then that nation will be great. And hey, listen, not me. This French writer back in 1831 said, at any point that America stops being good, and he made it very clear they were good because of righteousness being preached in the church, at any point they stop becoming good, it will stop becoming great or being great. So, we know that for any nation to be good, they'll become great as they seek God. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, Moses is commissioned by God to set up the nation of Israel. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. The nation of Israel for hundreds of years, kind of on and off, but the times that they sought the goodness and righteousness of God, they were the greatest nation ever. They were the most powerful, and at one time the most powerful and richest nation ever. None has even come close. Even America at its height didn't come close to Solomon's kingdom. And this is what Moses said to the people, directed by God. Verse 7 of chapter 4 in Deuteronomy, for what great nation is there that has a God near to it, as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call to him? And what great nation has righteous statutes and ordinances like this entire law I set before you today? Only be on your guard and diligently watch yourselves so that you don't forget the things your eyes have seen, and so that you don't slip from your mind as long as you live. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren. You see, our nation, our founding fathers, they said, our God is the Lord God, the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, and we want him near. And they called on him, and he was near. And they set up this great nation based upon God's order, God's law. And like Moses, we have to be on our guard. We have to teach the foundation of this nation to our children. Folks, I say it as a Christian pastor, not because I'm trying to promote, honestly, not even trying to promote the United States of America, other than its promotion of God's goodness and righteousness. That's what we teach our children and our children's children, folks. That is what will regain the USA. it will regain its goodness and its greatness as we as individuals and as churches regain the power of God's goodness in our lives and spread it to our neighborhoods and communities. And if you'll turn again or come back to Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to go back up to verses 6 through 10, where Paul says, "Let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things," these corruptions, these immoral things. "Therefore, do not become their partners." Folks, hear that. Do not become their partners. I'm not going to give specific examples of recent things and how even church-going people have become partners in immorality. But it says not to become their partners. "For you were once darkness," verse 8, "but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light results in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, discerning what is pleasing to the Lord." Folks, as we pursue Christ, we will understand what is pleasing to the Lord and what isn't. If we find ourselves wishy-washy on certain cultural things, it is because maybe we haven't been diligent in seeking the Lord to know what is pleasing in His sight. This is not a judgment on people to where we say, let's say we know someone that is a thief, and so I hate them. No, that's not knowing what's pleasing to the Lord. I love them, but I'm going to call out sin, not just in their life, but in my own life. I'm going to call out sin, and I'm not going to condone sin. I'm not going to condemn the person, because guess what? We're not the judge. Aren't you glad? God's the judge. But we have every right, as we seek goodness, to see what is pleasing to the Lord, to be upset with sin and to call it out. The regaining of the USA is going to be a tough road, folks, because as Christians, we are being labeled, especially the ones who are seeking God's goodness and righteousness, who are standing and willing to call out wrong being wrong. We are considered intolerant. Just a side note. If a person who claims tolerance is intolerant of someone who is intolerant, aren't they intolerant? Think about that. All right. We are deemed as intolerant. You know what? We just read scripture that says, as we pursue good, as we pursue righteousness, the world is going to do what the world does. The world is owned by the evil one. So guess what? The world's going to do evil, and they're going to call us names. They're going to say we're evil. Because we live in a world that is talked about in Scripture. We should not be blind to what's going on when we have evil called good and good called evil. Didn't Scripture say that would happen? So let's not sit there surprised. Let's be awake. Didn't it say here, "Wake up, you sleepers"? And I'm saying to Kurt, wake up. None of this is a surprise, but it also isn't hopeless. Let's just be gooder than we've ever been as we pursue God more than we ever have. The bottom line is summed up in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through the first part of 16. Paul said this, "So then, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, sense. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I just want to pause there. This working out of salvation is not conforming to this world. Being in God's Word, knowing what pleases Him. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because God is not mocked. Folks, God is not mocked. For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out His good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure children of God, who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world. Hold firmly to the message of life. The challenge that I present to myself and to you this day, we're not going to take it for a lifetime. Let's just take this week. This week, let's promote with our lives and our words the goodness and righteousness of God, because God is good and all the time. Let's promote that with our children, our children's children. If you are children, don't have children. Promote it with your brothers and sisters. Promote it with your families, your neighbors, your community. Even if it's just a simple God bless you. Let's determine to live it and speak it. God bless you today. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. And we're going to head into communion. Folks, our freedom, that freedom that Americans have pursued, is found in Jesus Christ. It is not dependent on a nation, because it is true freedom for eternal life. Our liberty, remember, our liberty is liberty in our Savior, and our pursuit of happiness is a pursuit of Almighty Creator God. So like that nursery teacher who was trying to teach her kids of freedom, hey, not everybody's going to understand when we say God bless you, but they'll hear it, they'll see it. And God will be glorified because of the sacrifice that Jesus gave. We have freedom and we have God's blessing as we pursue Him. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. I thank you that you are a God of hope, not of despair. I pray that as a people here, myself, my brothers and sisters hearing my voice, those maybe who really aren't sure of their eternity, that surety will come through Jesus Christ, maybe even today, and that as brothers and sisters, we will determine to live out and speak out as imitators of God, your goodness, Holy God, through Jesus Christ.